and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean. Hi.
Hi.
I felt like I wanted to say something before you started singing.
Oh, I think that was probably a good idea, because I was going to sing my new theme song for Shoulder Neck.
Oh, you go ahead and sing it. Let's the folks know what we're shopping here.
So, first, I better explain what Shoulder Neck is. So,
we'll premise this. We're watching. I have Nitro on in the background.
Because we always have wrestling on in the house. So we are watching an old Goldberg match. And he has, like, those muscles have names, I'm sure.
Trapezoids.
That are, like, all built up. Yeah. So it kind of looks like you have a little man's shoulders coming out of your neck.
Right.
So, my son.
And then the funny thing is like, that's not something that I've always also looked at that way too.
Is it looks like shoulder neck.
Yeah, because yeah. Sometimes I've looked at like really like guys with really huge traps. And people will be like, it'd be funny if it was like actual another smaller person instead
yeah,
of a bigger person.
Yeah, because that's what it looks like. It looks like tiny shoulders. Yeah. So I was singing a song, the theme song for the show I'm going to pitch called Shoulder Neck. And he goes, shoulder neck, shoulder neck. He's got a little man inside of his body and is trying to escape through his neck. Shoulder neck. And they're like, so that's the theme song, but like basically it's like one huge dude, the other dude's inside of him, and they're like, you know, like partners, little dude's a sidekick, and I don't know, maybe they fight crime or something. So ooh, maybe they're detectives.
Well, I have a question. Let's clarify.
I really haven't thought about this, so well, maybe, I might not have an answer.
So if there's another little person inside of this person,
yes,
all we're seeing is that person's shoulders, where is their head?
You know, I haven't figured that out yet. I'm assuming it pops up like maybe
is there
from
a head
behind.
Is it in like the esophagus or something? Like
This is a good question. Maybe it's like one of those things where like eyeballs just pop up in his neck.
Ah!
So he like opens his eyes and it has a little mouth too. And he has to wear like a scarf like at all times to like cover that up. Kind of like that girl. You remember that? Did you ever read that Scary Stories?
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
so the girl had the ribbon around her neck and when you take it off, her head falls off.
Yeah.
It's like one of those ribbons. When you take it off, it's a face.
Uh-huh.
In his throat.
Uh-huh.
It's really fucked up.
That's fucked up, yeah.
It's real fucked up.
Because now what that means is, like, if I ever see Goldberg wearing a scarf, I'm going to assume that.
I'm certain Goldberg wears a lot of scarves.
He's not
Chris Jericho.
Yeah, he goes out for an interview, and they're like, Goldberg, you must be pretty cool. It's like, no, there's another person inside of me. Ah! You know? It's like, oh, God, Goldberg is made of two people.
But, I mean, he could wear an ascot. An ascot's a thing. A lot of turtlenecks.
Turtlenecks,
that's
yes.
also a possibility.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume that from now on. Anytime I see a giant man, a giant wrestler guy wearing a
just any dude with shoulder neck.
Or any dude with shoulder neck. I'm just assuming their smaller man inside of them is currently trying to compromise them.
Just trying to be his buddy.
Well, but he's trying to expose himself to the world, and we don't want, you know,
they both know that they'll be, like, dissected, and it'll be a horrible thing.
Oh, yeah,
science
is coming.
Yeah, so they have to work together to avoid that, at the same time solve crimes.
It's like
Jake and the Fat Man.
What, wait, like, in the crime-solving sense, or is that Jake lived inside the Fat Man?
No, in the crime-solving sense, but I don't know, maybe Jake, I never saw Jake and the Fat Man, but I'm assuming
that's
maybe
the show that you referenced.
Maybe Jake lived inside the Fat Man. Is that streaming? Should I watch that show?
No.
All right, cool. That was easy.
I don't know. If you have to get your William Conrad fixed, then yeah, might
I mean,
as well.
Like, the fact that there was a show called Jake and the Fat Man.
You couldn't get away with that today.
No, of course you couldn't. You shouldn't have been able to get away with it back then either.
Okay, well, I mean, in the 80s, you called everybody fat.
Well, I mean, we call people fat now, but you're not going to put it in a title.
Yeah, they can't just be called like fatties and people. You know, you can't make a show like that today.
What would that be?
Coming soon to Fox on Thursdays. It's Fatties Inside of People.
I feel like that would be more of like a CBS show. Whatever network Last Man Standing was on.
ABC.
Okay, then it's an ABC show.
Yeah.
What is Roseanne?
Coming up after Last Man Standing, the debut of Tim Allen, he's a fat person.
Is Roseanne on ABC?
Yeah.
Oh, see?
And Roseanne, did you know Roseanne, the reboot, is an hour long?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, what? So she can get more of her Trump loving in?
Yeah, that's what. There's a whole special like segment in the middle. It's called Trump loving.
Oh, no one wants that.
Speaking of,
that was upsetting.
Speaking of Trump, we were watching finishing the Gary Shandling documentary.
Which, all said and done, that thing's almost 5 hours long.
It literally is, and that's the thing. Because I love Judd Apatow, but for some reason, I don't know.
He can't.
Why he has to insist on everything that he does has to be like 8 hours long.
I know. I'm like, dude, edit. Come on.
Can't you just make a movie that's 90 minutes?
Yeah, like, you know what? This could have just been a 3-hour documentary on Gary Shandling, and I think I would have been happy with it. I didn't need this to be, 4 hours and however many minutes it ended up clocking in. It was almost 5 hours.
Yeah, it's almost 5 hours. But the reason why I bring it up is we were watching it, and there was this, you know, they're showing all these clips and stuff. And then, out of nowhere, they just showed this clip of Gary Shandling
on Regis and Kelly or whatever.
Regis and Kelly, but for some reason, Trump is there instead of Regis, and I wasn't ready for
it. No, none of us were ready for it. It was really upsetting, actually.
Because I was like, when I see him, now I'm like,
that was the thing. I'm just happily watching. I'm just like, oh, Gary Shandling, okay, he's having a conversation, cool, saying something. Oh my God, it's Trump! It was just the most jarring, upsetting moment in that entire documentary.
That it was.
Yeah. So.
But
we did some comic book shopping.
Yeah, we did some comic book shopping. And that's what we went. Yeah, went to comic book shopping because we were in the valley. We decided to do some stuff and
went up to the valley.
What are we going to the valley for again?
We went up because I had to buy earrings. Yeah. Yes, I had to buy earrings from this little outlet store in Burbank that I wanted to go to.
Yeah, so we went there, and then we were putzing around, and we hit up a few places.
We did. There was this new place that we had seen, but it was closed the first time we saw it. It was called Black Cat Comics, and it's new.
Yeah.
So we checked out that. Apparently, there's a ton of toys there, which...
It's a nice little cozy...
It's definitely a little tiny cozy place, and it's cute, and they had comics.
They had some dollar comics. We didn't look at them, though.
Yeah, no. It was small, and it was a little warm that day, and
yeah,
there's no air conditioning. Or there is, but they didn't have it on. But the lady behind the counter is the owner, co-owner, her and her husband.
Yeah.
And all the toys there, and there were a lot of toys. There was some stuff I hadn't seen in a long time, are from his collection.
Yeah.
So I guess he's, you know, trying to sell them all, but he's had them since, you know, they came out.
Yeah.
So it's original owner, original boxes, original everything.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, just from looking at it, it's a pretty reasonable prices.
Yeah. Definitely not too bad. And they did have some really cool comics, a little bit pricey for me.
Yeah.
But you know me, I'm cheap.
Yeah. In terms of my comics. In terms of the toys, though, like there's a lot of really cool Marvel stuff there. I mean, shit, they had DC Superpowers Darkseid
car
that he drove, or the plane that he fucking Darkseid's Raider, or whatever the fuck it was called. So they had that. You know, they had a bunch of the Toy Biz X-Men machines, because in the first series of the X-Men, for some reason, they decided to have like motorcycles and fucking, you know, Magneto had a little fucking ship and all that. So they had those things that had some of the stuff from the Fantastic Four thing. Just like a lot of things. It looks like a lot of little interesting little knickknacks and stuff like that. You know, a lot of stuff from the 90s and, you know, just like the DC collector's stuff. And yeah, a lot of cool stuff. So yeah. I guess you could definitely check them out. They're on
Magnolia
Boulevard. You could probably look up Black Cat Comics.
They're near Halloween Town, which is my favorite store of all time.
Well, it's kind of nice because they're in between Blast from the Past and Halloween Town.
Yes, and Blast from the Past is okay. We went there too. They also had some fun toys. You actually bought a Wonder Man.
I bought a Wonder Man that I did not have, who also had shoulder neck.
He did have shoulder neck. Is his costume high cut? You know what? It might be. Maybe it's covering a face. It
probably is. That's a superpower that we didn't know he had.
Yeah, who knew? We went to Blast from the Past. We checked out Halloween Town, which is my favorite store of all time.
Yeah.
So basically, if you don't know what Halloween Town is, it is just a store that is 365 days of nothing but fucking Halloween shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, it's badass.
It speaks to the goth girl in me.
It's constantly, like, anytime I go in there.
And it's dark. And they're always playing, like, Halloween music and shit.
They're playing, you know, Halloween movies.
They were playing, Young Frankenstein.
Right, right.
Yes, when we were in there. And they just have all this cool stuff. And they have tombstones. And they have cookie cutters look like coffins. And you can buy, like, you know, a purse that looks like a coffin. And you can buy, you know, enamel pins.
Well, you can buy patches. You can buy vintage books. They have, I mean, they have all sorts of really cool shit. Two things that I saw in there this time out. Because that's the thing about that store.
They get new stuff all the time.
They get new stuff all the time. So it's every time, like, we don't go in there very often, but, like, when we go in there, it's always something. It's always, even though we've been in there a bunch of times, it's always different.
Yeah.
There's always something cool in there. So and that place is great. And I saw, a few things that because I didn't realize they made them. So, like, there's this company called NECA Toys that makes, like, a lot of toys that are based off of, like, movie franchises and all that shit. And
I'm sorry. We're watching Nitro. There's a giant pink sign in the background that says, "Big Sexy, Come Home With Me."
Kevin Nash was able to get it back in the day.
Well, Jesus Christ, look at him. He's gigantic.
He's gigantic and he's a charming man.
And he's got hair?
He's got beautiful hair.
Does he have hair now? It might have been short.
He's cut it from time to time, but I mean, I think it was in Magic Mike he had longer hair.
He did have longer hair in Magic Mike. I feel like he's right over there. It's kind of short now, or it might be in a ponytail.
No, it's in a ponytail right now. I mean, he didn't actually cut his hair, like, fully cut his hair until he got to the returned back to the WWE in, like, 2003.
Yeah.
So he was and this is 1998, so he had long hair for a long time.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that people were trying to fuck him.
This is also this is actually a very momentous thing for me, because this is the first time I've seen Rex. I believe this is the first time that Lex Luger wrestled in his jeans outfit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, normally he wears black trunks and stuff like that, but for some reason he decided to start wrestling in jeans, which is for some reason a thing that me and Joe talk about a lot on our wrestling podcast.
What, dudes like, wrestle in jeans?
Guys that all of a sudden just wrestle in jeans.
Yeah, it's weird. Don't you think that'd be hard?
It's some people it doesn't matter.
I mean, look at John Cena.
Well, he wrestles in jorts though, so you have flexibility at the knee.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though, about a guy like Lex Luger, like, who's not a flexible guy. You know, he's a big muscle guy, but
he doesn't need it.
But he's just wearing his dumb jeans.
Yeah.
You know, and that always fascinated me back in the, you know, in the 90s, because, like, or whenever, anytime I would see it, I'd be like, why is that guy wrestling in jeans?
Yeah.
It's like going to the gym and seeing a guy work on jeans.
Yeah, that's always weird.
Which is, that's the guy who anytime I see somebody working out in jeans, I always assume that they're also selling drugs. In the gym.
A lot of times they're older.
Or
Sting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So you were saying there's this toy company.
So they make these, like, movie properties and stuff like that for, you know, all this stuff. And they had a bunch of toys from, like, Nightmare on Elm Street and, you know, from the different installments of Nightmare on Elm Street. But what I liked in particular is they had one from... It was a Freddy Krueger action figure, but this particular Freddy Krueger action figure was the action figure the way that it appeared on the NES game for some reason was the NES version of Freddy Krueger. I mean, you had, like, red pants for some reason, so. I can't tear my shirt.
Sorry,
this is fun. This is fun to watch.
Sting just,
you know what sucks too, is those car shirts cost like $20 a piece, man.
Wait, but he's still in the red.
No, he's in the red ones now.
Jesus Christ, this because is too you go because
this is where he went. He was
wrestling is dumb. What the fuck, man? Why are there two NWOs?
Oh, I don't know, because they both ended up, like, splitting, and then, like, they decided to, like, join each other and stuff, and or split up, and now they're like, there's Hulk Hogan's group, which is the white group, the black and white group, and then there's the
red and white,
the red and black group, which is Kevin Nash's group, and that's the Wolf Pack.
Oh,
those are the hip guys.
I hate everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, we went to Halloween Town, and there was this cool book that you saw.
Yeah. So there's a book called, it was like VHS, it was basically just VHS cover, VHS covers.
And the back.
and the backs of them. And a lot of it's just, like, you know, action and horror movies and stuff like that. And I need that book.
I know.
And it's actually it's not an expensive book. So
no, that's kind of like when we went to that Slashback video exhibit where it was just like horror VHS tapes. set up in what looked like a 1980s video store, you couldn't touch the tapes. And Sean was so upset because he wanted to flip them over and read the backs and take pictures and stuff.
Do that.
Yeah, it was only like towards the end you could come back and like touch everything. But I don't even think there were tapes in all of them.
No, they were just empty. Like,
yeah, but it was like, don't touch it because it's like an art exhibit.
It was technically an art exhibit. It wasn't.
And Sean was like, but what do you mean I can't touch them?
Well, I remember we went there. We went there and it was an old, or not the old, it was like, it was later in its run, and it was just about to be ending, and then I was like, well, hey, since like it's almost over, can I like still look at the back? She's like, no.
I'm like, you can't. There's a big sign on like everywhere you look, there's a sign that says do not touch.
big bummer. So yeah.
So we went to Halloween Town, which was great. And then we went over to
House of Secrets,
which is such a great store.
Yeah.
If you're ever in Burbank, California, for whatever reason, try to hit up House of Secrets.
Yeah.
It's just a really, really great place. They've got so much stuff. The staff is really nice. And
yeah, that's one thing about this. Not all stores have nice staff.
Yeah,
that's
no,
one
of the they're always very friendly.
I've always felt you go in there and it's always cool people working there.
Yeah, just really cool people. And so we went in, and of course they have a lot of dollar boxes.
Yeah, their dollar boxes, I gotta say, we've talked about this before, they set it up, it's set up really nice.
Yeah, it's nice to look through
because they're dollar boxes, and they also have a section for sets and stuff like that, and they're all set up like
you're not on the floor.
They're
like up on a shelf. And there's like a little tiny like alcove.
Yeah, it's almost kind of tucked away.
It's so like tucked away, so it's you're not in anybody's way. It's like if you're in the dollar boxes, you're in this like little tiny alcove in the back, where it's just you and the dollar boxes. It's actually great.
Yeah, I like that. I like, you know,
same with the sets. That's kind of tucked off to the side, so
you
can look through whatever.
And they also have this one that's set up where you can go. They have like right when you walk in, they have this little couch, and you kind of just like look at some dollar boxes there.
They don't always have them there.
They don't always have them,
but there's always a couch you can like sit and read.
Yeah.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, at Blast from the Past, did you notice that they have that zombie big boy?
Yes.
Because that was at Meltdown.
Yeah.
So they must have bought it from them.
They must have bought it from there. Yeah. They must have cooked that up.
Yeah.
So, So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's my buddy Stephen Kramer Glickman made that.
Yeah.
But we went to there. We picked up some books, including one we're going to do today.
Yes.
There's a few. There's a few other things I was going to say about that show.
Well, I saw the World's Finest Silver Age Volume 1 trade.
Yeah.
When we were there, which that's on my list to get. That's fucking cool. Black Cat Comics too, and House of Secrets had a bunch of Lois Lanes that I wanted, but some of them were a little.
Oh, they had Lois Lanes there,
The dollar box. Black Cat, yeah, but and they were $4, $7, that sort of stuff, and that was the same with when we were at House of Secrets.
Yeah,
their back issue. They have an extensive back issue selection.
They're actually House of Secrets. Their back issues are on point.
Mm-hmm.
Their new comics are on point, and that's for just about everything.
Yeah,
and their trades, and it's set up really nice.
Yeah,
like everything is just nice.
And it's not dusty and gross. It's like a nice, clean, cool place to be.
Yeah, and they have a lacquered floor.
It's organized.
They have a lacquered floor with comic books that are underneath, so you can kind of see like some covers, and they just kind of like lacquered them over so that they stick.
It just looks cool.
So it's a really cool place. So.
It is. So we got some books there. In contrast to, and Black Cat Comics also set up very nicely and stuff. In contrast to, we stopped at this place that's going out of business in downtown Burbank.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Called Movie World?
It was called Movie World. Yes.
But I don't know if that's the intention. I don't know. But it's going out of business because it's downtown Burbank and, everything's expensive. This place was just like a bookstore that exploded.
Literally.
There were books everywhere and like stacked on the floor and boxes everywhere, and I'm like, I don't know if it's like this because it's closing or if it's always been like this, but there were like books on the movies, and then they have like your regular paperbacks or whatever. They even had comic boxes. I don't know if you saw them, but they were like on the floor underneath like five other things.
Or did you find the comics?
I tried to find the comics, but to actually get to them, their aisles were so narrow.
See, that's what I was trying to see if I could find some.
I did find them. They were on, but who the hell can look through them? Because the aisles are so narrow and everything's so high. And then you had to like try not to knock stuff on top of yourself.
Right.
So I was like, I'm not even going to bother looking through this.
No, it's not worth it.
No, I was like, I do not want to die underneath these books. Nope. However, if I do, like yep. I said when we were there, if I ever die underneath books, please put "She died as she lived" on my tombstone.
You got that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, yeah. Yeah, so we checked out some stuff. You know, we picked up some stuff. Trying to think if there's something else that I wanted to bring up. Oh, we went to wrestling.
Oh, we did go to wrestling. We had quite the adventure at the wrestling.
Well, I had a friend from my metal days, somebody who I don't know him that well, but I know I was a metal guy, and he's a good dude. Andy Williams from Every Time I Die.
I love that his name's Andy Williams.
Andy Williams.
So does anybody send him that clip of Nelson just going, Andy Williams?
You know,
because they should.
I wish if we had that power to do that back then, I probably would have sent that to him a million times. But and I'm certain he's probably heard it a million times. I'm surprised that he didn't have a Titantron with just that.
That honestly, if I were a wrestler and my name was Andy Williams, that is exactly what I would come out to. Just a picture of Nelson going, Andy Williams. That's it.
Yeah. So he's in the band Every Time I Die, and he was there at this thing called Bar Wrestling, which is out in Baldwin Park,
which is, I don't know, probably like an hour from us at least.
It's in the San Gabriel Valley. So we're talking like City of Industry.
No, it's out in the Inland Empire.
Is it technically Inland Empire?
Yeah, it's technically the Inland Empire.
So in the IE?
Because it's out, yeah, it's in the IE. We're in the Inland Empire. You're on the 605. You're in the Inland Empire.
All right, fine. But so we went to go see the show because I was like, oh, I haven't seen my friend, this guy in a while. My friend, so I was going to go out and check him out and see what he's doing. He's wrestling with another Buffalo guy, Braxton Sutter, who, along with his wife Allie, who are both of them are on Impact Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
They were both on this card, and they were doing a 6-man tag. It was them and teamed up with this local guy, Brody King, against
dude who looked really like Rob Delaney.
Joey Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Who looks like wrestling Rob Delaney.
He does. He's got like a really great mustache.
Oh, yeah. That's his thing. He's got a great mustache, great tan.
Very hairy chest. Comes to the ring to the Pina Colada song.
Yeah.
I actually appreciate that.
Yeah.
So there's that guy. There was Elias. What was his name? Elias something. Is it Elias?
Oh, Eli Drake.
Eli Drake. That's it.
Eli Drake. And then I forgot who the other guy was.
He had a huge beard.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He had a huge beard, which he had like tied up. And then at one point he just unfurled it.
Apparently when he goes berserk, he pulls his beard and it like unfurls. Because it looks like just like a regular beard that like, comes down to like, where his neck is. You're like, oh, it's a big beard, whatever. And then if he gets really upset, he yells and he unfurls it. And then it's like down to his fucking navel. It's huge.
Yeah, it's a big
beard. But he came out in like a jean jacket with like the sheep shearling on the collar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he also had a feather in his beard. I don't know if you could see that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of...
I forget what that guy's name was.
This is California wrestling, so there's a lot of fun, weird things going
on. Oh, yeah. No, it was... That's why I like that Rob Delaney-looking motherfucker, because I was like, this guy appreciates that wrestling is ridiculous, and he has leaned into that.
Oh, yeah. No, that's his whole thing. Well, he's Joey Ryan, so and if I'm certain that some people that listen to the show... No, if you know about wrestling, Joey Ryan's gimmick is that he has a super strong cock.
Right.
Which, if you touch his cock, you will be compelled to hold on to his cock, and he will
flip you with it.
He will flip you with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is his deal. He's actually he's the only wrestler to ever be sponsored by YouPorn.
Oh, indeed.
That is a real thing that happened. That has happened for him.
Good for him.
I don't know if he is currently sponsored by YouPorn, but yes, YouPorn did sponsor him.
That's funny.
But yeah, that's his.
That's his deal.
That's his deal. So yeah, but my buddy Andy went in there and took a cockplex.
Yeah.
or penisplex or whatever they call it, and yeah, no, it was a fun time.
It was fun. I actually appreciated it because then he was yelling at the audience at the end. He's like, "People should be ashamed of yourselves."
Yeah.
And
yeah, no, there was some fun. There's some good stuff, but yeah, and then we got stuck in Glen Irwindale, fucking
yeah, we sure did.
Baldwin Park.
Yeah, because my car's a piece of garbage. So that was fun.
Yeah, that was rough.
We ended up taking an Uber back at about 3 o'clock in the morning after having my car literally dragged onto a tow truck because you couldn't get it out of park. It had to be dragged onto a tow truck and driven to a shop right by a landfill. And then we had to take an Uber back to LA, which our driver did about 90 the entire way back.
I don't appreciate that, but at the same time, I do.
I appreciate it, but I don't. And yeah. I was like, we're going to die. But we didn't die.
But we didn't die, and we got home relatively quickly because it was like late.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was late, and I was like, I'm tired as fuck. I want to go home.
Yeah, because there was a lot of, I was very angry because this car that I have is a lemon.
Yeah.
I have had nothing but problems with it since I bought it. I've had to do everything from rebuild the transmission and put new axles on it to getting like a new temperature gauge and whatever. It has been a money pit. It is a piece of garbage. I hate it so much. I cannot wait to get rid of it. But yeah, I was so angry that I was to the point where I was just snarking.
Yeah, we were just kind of
ragging on it, talking about driving into the end of off the Santa Monica Pier, because really that's all it's good for at this point. So it was fun. So just picture us swearing and cracking wise on the side of a nice suburban neighborhood while the good people of the world try to sleep and my car is being dragged out of a parking spot.
Literally dragged.
Literally dragged because it could not go into neutral.
Hey, look, it's Joey Ryan's dad.
Look at that mullet.
Yeah. This is 98. He shouldn't have this mullet,
no,
but he did.
No, not back then.
We're talking about, I turn on the next Nitro and we got Jerry Flynn, Thunderfoot.
Is
Jerry
he dead?
Flynn. No, he's alive.
I always have to ask.
He had his beautiful mullet.
My God, did we look like this in 98?
We were still doing this in 98. Oh, these are wrestling fans, though, so there's a certain way that we looked.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah. But we had an interesting couple of days.
Yeah.
Let's take our break. Come back. We'll talk about our book for this week.
Justice League International, Bwahaha Podcast, a new monthly show chronicling the adventures of the JLI era by Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis. We'll be going issue by issue in release order, tackling the core Justice League title, Justice League Europe, and the quarterly book. Along the way, we'll take time out for special episodes covering various spin-offs, cartoon appearances, the infamous TV pilot, and much more. So join me in an ever-changing roster of guest hosts as we celebrate your favorite JLI members, such as
Martian Manhunter,
Batman,
Dr. Fate,
Black Canary, Fire,
Ice, Maxwell Lord,
Oberon, Captain Marvel,
Rocket Red, Captain
Atom, Mr. Miracle,
Guy Gardner,
Booster Gold,
Blue Beetle,
Nort,
and many, many more. Justice League International, Bwahaha Podcast, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Want to make something of it?
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Adventure Comics, starring Supergirl, number 420, from June 1972.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This actually comes out on 4/19, so we're a day shy.
Oh yeah.
Of this book corresponding with pot. Nonetheless.
Did you want to just talk about the fabulous news you just learned?
Fabulous. Breaking wrestling news on a comic podcast. I just learned that John Cena and Nikki Bella split up.
Oh no.
I laugh at that because that's actually kind of sad.
It's very sad.
I am certain it was a very meticulous decision on both their parts, considering how visible a couple they were.
Mm-hmm.
But John Cena kind of seems like I just vibing from him. He's a very odd guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you could tell by him just sitting there watching WrestleMania. He was just like...
Or just his... Yeah, there's something going on in that head of his. He's just a very odd, muscular man. because there was that. Yeah, that's right. He was watching WrestleMania. It was like, we didn't talk about WrestleMania at all. Jesus.
Oh, it was just like 9 million hours of wrestling. I think it's still happening. Actually,
it's on right now. Well, technically, it's on now as a repeat, but yeah. It might as well still be on.
Yeah.
but he. Yeah, they had that thing where he's just sitting there watching wrestling, you know, because he was like, I'm going as a fan because The Undertaker won't fight me, even though The Undertaker showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, durr.
Yeah, he's just like, what is what are these humans doing? I, an alien, do not understand.
Yeah, and then he ran and it was funny. He runs like this moving block of meat. That's what Dave Meltzer said it once on the review. He's like, yeah, John Cena doesn't run well or something to that effect. Because, you know,
he's a meat.
So, yeah, maybe that's why he broke. Maybe that's why they split up.
I think it's because hasn't he been very vocal about not wanting children?
But I think that's
some point. I think she's pretty like, I want kids. And she's like, he'll change his mind. Don't ever pin it on he'll change his mind or she'll change her mind.
I don't think
it doesn't happen.
100% that. It definitely could have played into it because I think at some point they were saying, oh, maybe he might be open to it. And then maybe he was like, nah, man, maybe he got a vasectomy.
Oh, shit.
Secret vasectomy, John Cena.
Did he get the snips?
Da, 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 cha.
You're shooting blank.
I got no sperm.
Hey. Go for it.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
I wonder if he came in. He's like, you can't see sperm.
That was such a dumb joke, but it was very funny.
It was the best joke.
It was a really
if
good
it comes
joke.
Out that he got a secret. I kind of wanted it to be that he got a secret vasectomy. and then that's a new action figure that they sell. It's like secret vasectomy John Cena. It's like it's just him at a doctor's office, but you get like a little, like it's him, but it's just a John Cena figure, but like he has a towel over his junk over instead of jorts, and it's just like a doctor wrestler, so like Kane as Dr. Dentist, whatever is there. Just hell, make that now. Make that for me. Spend money and man hours crafting the plastic.
Just so Sean could have secret vasectomy John Cena.
Vasectomy.
Does it come with like the whole set, like him in like a little chair?
Yeah, he's in the chair, he's got the towel, he's on, you know, he's got the doctors there, or mm-hmm. maybe you could take get some outfits for your wrestlers, you could dress up your favorite wrestler as a doctor. You want Finn Balor to be the doctor? He could be the doctor. Sasha Banks to be his nurse? He could be his nurse.
Sure, Sasha Banks could also be the doctor.
So, or you want to reverse the roles? Progressive. It's a very progressive event.
Well, ladies could be doctors. It's been a thing.
That's how I would be if it was at the Mattel Comic Con thing. It's like, look, you could make it progressive. You could have two women as a doctor. You could do this. Oh, you want to take look? Here's this Hornswoggle figure. We're going to put that in there.
Did Hornswoggle be a doctor?
Hornswoggle, give him a little stool. He's a little wrestling
Those
ladder.
Those things go up
on.
And down. Those little chairs. It's fine. It's fine. He'll be fine. Because Hornswoggle could totally be a doctor.
Yeah.
And then he could be like, I'm snipping.
Yeah, he's sniffing. You want Goldberg to be the doctor? Goldberg's the doctor. You want to take the small man out of his body?
You try to put him in a coat, it just like rips on his shoulder neck.
Obviously the obvious choice is making Vince McMahon the doctor.
I don't know. I feel like Vince McMahon kind of like is hoping John Cena has many children so then he can have many small wrestlers that will become big wrestlers.
No, here's the thing. That John doesn't want the kids, but Vince has already harvested the sperm. It's being frozen in somewhere in the WWE one of those
that building
in the Indiana Jones warehouse. There's a special cryo area where they freeze a bunch of wrestler sperm.
Gross.
In case they need to create more wrestlers.
Ew. That's just disgusting.
I mean,
then it really is like the plot of the X-Files where they're like, we're just gonna take this and we're gonna impregnate these people and now, oh my god, we've got alien human hybrids. Except now they're wrestling human hybrids.
Yes. Yes, that's Vince's plan all along. You know that's in the contract.
Yeah, it probably is in the contract. You'd think he'd give them health insurance if he's going to steal their sperm.
Well, they pay for it if you get hurt on their dime.
So, like,
They'll pay for your surgery.
Did someone give Roman Reigns stitches on the... Yeah. On...
They have a doctor they pay.
Oh, is it the Dr. CM Punk hates?
Yes, I think it still is. I think it's the guy that he did it, that he slandered on a podcast and yeah. is still paying for it.
Oh my.
So anyways, Adventure Comics starring Supergirl number 420 from June 1970, I think 1972.
Yeah. And I bought this at House of Secrets.
Mm-hmm. It is stained.
Yep. It has stain on it.
But it's not stained enough that we can't read it.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, it's not too gross. So we're gonna read it. So it's got a couple stories in it, but we'll just go, you know, from the beginning. So the cover, Venture Comics starring Supergirl. Supergirl's on the cover. She is throwing a cannon.
Uh-huh. She's throwing some sort of machinery.
It looks like a cannon.
Like a cannon. And she's throwing it.
And there's it looks like an alien planet. Also looks like the Jetsons were there because there's like
it is, actually.
You know, yeah, it's the exact it's a Jetsons house. It's on stilts and it's got like a bubble.
Elroy's going to school.
Yeah, and they're like, Supergirl's mad killer, our mind warp worked.
Success.
And there's like a hand at the bottom of somebody that she murdered.
You see this alien landscape and there's a bunch of carnage and,
yeah.
you know, there's a bunch of dudes being dead.
Yeah.
And
she also, I have to point this out, she's wearing shorts.
Yes.
But for some reason, these shorts have pom-poms on the bottom of them.
Yeah, this is a thing that apparently had, because this is the Linda Danvers Supergirl, where she's got the pom-pom shorts, and she's got the, I don't know how would you describe this kind of shirt.
It's like a blouse. It's a peasant blouse.
It's a peasant blouse. It's her peasant blouse.
It's very
with the,
billowy.
With the, yeah, the billowy peasant blouse with the Superman insignia on like the left chest.
Like a pocket.
Yeah, like a pocket square, you know.
Yeah, like embroidered, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's got that, you know, that's the outfit we're dealing with here. She's got high heels, it looks like.
Sure, why not?
Because, yeah, you can see that. But that's what the Maiden of Might is working with here.
Yep.
It's also very interesting, too, because this is one of those DC comics that doesn't have the DC bullet on it.
Yeah, that's true.
It just has it, like, printed. So I don't know if this is from another... country or not, but,
oh I don't know,
yeah, but it is yeah, so we got also on the cover we have little heads up here because we got some other stories in this
yeah
book. We have Animal Man,
that's right, Animal Man,
Animal Man up there, and then we have the Starmen.
Yeah, Starmen, not the Starmen, just Starmen.
Starmen, who
star hyphen men,
as far as I would understand, we have never
this might be their only appearance.
I think this is literally it for the Starman, and plus Monster from Krypton. So we got a packed book.
We sure do.
And we're probably going to blow through some of this a little bit yeah. quicker because
it's a little long.
Yeah, it's a little bit long, but it's
fun.
It's stupid.
I yeah, it's a dumb book, so, which is my favorite.
So here's the deal though, because basically the rest of these stories are reprints. The Starman thing is a unreleased story that they decided just to throw in here.
Yeah.
But this Supergirl one is a first run story. It's like
yeah.
these stories that were written by, this one's written by Ray Marius and Len Wein.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Wait, Len Wein passed away, I think, right?
I think.
Yeah, because Bernie Wrightson passed away. I feel like.
Didn't he go pretty soon after?
I apologize if Len Wein is still alive.
No, I think he's dead.
Yeah.
You want me to Google it?
No, I think I'm right.
I think you're right too, but
my wife is gonna check.
I'm gonna check because I'm almost sure you're right though.
So the story is called, what you call it? I'm reading it and I can't read words. The story is called A Death Shall Have No Dominion. So
yep, dead.
Yeah, yeah.
September 10th, 2017.
That's right. And yeah, I know he passed away.
I thought he passed away like right after Bernie Weitzman.
Wrightson, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Wrightson.
Yeah. So anyway, so Wonder Girl, Jesus Christ, Supergirl is in space, and there was a plastoid globe that is following her, and is trying to catch her, and she evades it, and then it goes
smashes into a planet or something.
Apparently it smashes into this planetoid.
Yeah. So it smashes, and she's like, "Oh man, it was trying to."
For some reason, her hair is red here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's coloring error.
Coloring error.
So she's like, I'm going to use my supervision to track where it came from. So she does, and it comes from this planet, so she's going to go see it, and there's these three weirdos who kind of look like luchas.
They do, actually.
Like, but bad luchas. Like,
this one even has a weird beard, you see that?
Yeah, like luchas whose masks are too big. Like,
you're not wrong.
I know.
These are bad lucha outfits.
And there are these three dudes, and they're like, oh, man. They're watching her on basically a TV, and they're like, okay, Supergirl took the bait. She's coming to our planet.
One of them is called Oprah. You get a planetoid, and you get a planetoid.
She's going to sit down and cry with Supergirl. So Supergirl lands on this planet. She's like, oh, it's such a beautiful planet. How can anything evil come from beauty? And you're like, oh, man, you've never been anywhere, have you?
Yeah.
And so this dude walks up and he's like, hi, I'm, what's his name?
My name is Togran, son of Vorko. What the fuck is my
name? I'm like,
names?
Why? Don't tell me your dad's name. I don't care.
He's like, I have a dad.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, if it gets that far, you could introduce me to your father, but like...
That's how I should introduce myself to you. I'm Sean, son of Larry.
I'm Jen, son of Robert.
Ooh, there we go.
But I'm not son. Daughter of Robert.
How do you do that if your father's going to say, what does John Cena do? My name is John, son of John.
Yeah, I mean,
I
guess.
Son of yourself? That's weird.
Yeah. John the First.
I'm John the Second. John the Second, son of John the First.
I assume. So he's like, hi, this is my planet. And he's like, oh no, something's coming to attack us. Supergirl's like, don't worry, I'll fight it off. And it like, it has this like hair.
It's like she fights like some space hair.
Yeah, it really does look like space hair. And it like wraps her up in a burrito. And she breaks it, but at the same time, this Togran guy's like, I'll just mentally help her or something.
I want to point out that this Togran guy, he has yellow skin and
is
like,
it yellow or is he green?
Okay, maybe it's light, super light green skin.
Yeah.
And he has green hair. He looks like an alien Elliot Gould.
Okay.
I don't know. That's why I noticed.
Yeah, he's very 70s, by the way. He's got like a medallion.
He's got a tunic.
Like a tunic and like a V-neck cut down to his navel. And
yeah.
So this also is weird because I was like, is she stuck to the bottom of something?
Well, something happens where she gets...
Because the hair starts like becoming amber after she breaks free of it. So it just looks like her ass is a box.
Yeah, she gets sucked.
But
to, like,
it also
this...
looks like she's stuck to the bottom of something.
Yeah, she's stuck to some ship or some...
But there's no ship here.
Where did she go? Yeah, because... Oh,
I mean,
wait, hang on. Look, so there's this enemy attack.
Yeah.
Here's what... Because there's these missiles.
Yeah.
That are being shot at them.
Yeah.
One of these missiles look like dinner plates.
Oh.
And she goes to stop it, but the missile has a defense where it shoots out the space hair that turns into amber.
And gives her box ass.
He gives her box ass and sticks it to the thing. She goes, well, I'm going to vibrate really fast and do like the Harlem Shake or something.
Well, she basically does the Flash thing.
Yeah. And she breaks it off. And she's like, okay, well.
I saved this guy's garden.
Yeah, because he's like, hey, my garden's sweet.
Yeah,
he controls
the entire garden with his brain.
Yeah.
And so he's like, hey, just an FYI, my dad and his two buddies, they got bored of like bowling. So they all sat down together and decided to do a mind meld where they're like basically the same person. And now they want all the power. And so there's a huge war and like everybody's dead. Except a couple people.
Yeah,
like me. I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, they're basically just having this weird war.
Yeah.
And
he's like, they live up there in the Jetson house.
They do.
And he's like, well, as long as this garden lives, I live or whatever. And then this bird flies by.
Yeah, what is this bird? This bird is like changing the panel. Like, you just see like this weird stork in the middle here.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's
heron.
Yeah, it's just like in the middle of this panel, like in between these two panels. And you're like, what's going on with the bird? But no one seems to notice it because they're still talking, just like having a long conversation.
Yeah, I don't think it's really there.
Yeah. And then the three guys are just like watching on their weird TV.
Yeah, they're watching and they're like, yeah, well.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Supergirl, you're here because they want you to like lose your shit or something.
They want you to get mad.
So you'll help us kill the other people that they want to kill.
Yeah.
Or something.
And these luchadors. I like how this guy, this one luchador guy, he has like a Like, he has a symbol on his head, and then that same symbol is also on the wrap on his chin.
Oh, yeah, Jim Gamble, on Neidhart his beard. Yeah.
He's even got a cozy for his beard.
He does. He's got a nice little beard cozy. That's thinking. And she's like, well, don't worry about it. I'm just going to take off so I can't get angry. And the guy's like, here, let me awkwardly come up behind you and kiss you.
Yeah, he gives her like this weird like.
But not like from the front, but like from behind. So she's like. And I'm like, that's weird, because you were literally facing each other last panel.
Because he's like, yeah, I got to like save this planet or save this plant, this garden. And she's like, oh, okay, great. And he's like, all right, well, you get out of here. But before you go, I'm going to
give you
a sensual embrace from behind.
Yeah, and then
it's like to cover like a romance model.
It really is, because she's got her arms up like grabbing his neck, but like over her shoulder, and like it's a weird picture.
It's a novel. It's a strangely sexy picture. It's kind of comes out of nowhere. You're just like,
oh shit, you people are gonna get to fucking.
But then they don't.
And then she's like, bye, and so she leaves. And then more missiles come, and they're like dick rockets.
Yeah, there's like whatever. These dick rockets start shooting towards her, and she's like,
and they destroy the garden, and they kill that guy, and she's like, no, not the guy I shared an awkward kiss with.
Yeah,
not that guy. And so now she's mad and starts screaming, "Kill!"
Right? She gets her mind gets compromised, so they use this mind warp.
Yeah,
to like fix her brain to hate more.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, hate.
And like and Oprah and all of his friends are.
But Vardok or whatever his name is. What's his name?
Vorko.
Vorko. Vorko's like, oh no, my son. That's literally my son. He's like, if I get him, we can bring him back to life.
Yeah.
So he runs off while these two idiots watch Supergirl destroy stuff on the TV. So he runs off. He goes, gets his son.
So he goes and picks up his son. And he's like, he's like, okay, look, I feel bad about this.
Yeah, sorry you died.
And then he like resurrects him. I don't know how he resurrects him, because he just sits there and he just holds his son.
Yeah.
Holds Torgren, and he's like, breathe, Torgren, breathe. Fill your lungs with life and rise. And then he's like, I'm better.
Yeah, and Torgren's like, hey, Dad, thanks for saving me, but also fuck you.
Yeah, but then Torgren's like, look, I'm going to go back out and like...
I'm going to go talk Supergirl down from this ledge. He's like, no, if you fly over there with, half strength, you'll die anyway. And we can't bring you back. And he's like, meh.
He's like, fuck it. I don't care.
So he goes after Supergirl. And as he leaves, his father's just like, you know what? This makes me very angry. I'm going to pull out what looks like a giant letter opener. Because it doesn't really look like a sword. It just looks like a big letter opener. And he's like, time for me to kill my friends.
Yeah, because he's like, well, look, these other guys, Drac and Oprah, that's the other guy, Drac. They're like, yeah, these guys were always jealous of my son and his powers of seduction and his green pale skin.
Yeah.
And he
time to stab.
And then Wonder Girl or Supergirl's like sitting there just beating the shit out of everything.
Yeah, and then that's when Togren shows up. He's like, don't do it, it's not worth it. As long as my garden lives, I live. I am happy to die, but don't fall into my dad's thing. And Supergirl's like, okay, good call.
He's like, I'm dead again.
The end.
Yeah, that's literally what happened. So she go, because
she didn't do anything.
Because the dude, apparently if you kill one of these guys,
they all die, yeah.
So that's weird.
So Vorko, if he kills one of his friends, he dies too, so they're dead, and now this war's over. But like, this is the first of two stories in which Supergirl doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't really need her here. All they needed to do was like launch a missile towards this guy's kid's garden, and then he would have stabbed his friends anyway.
Yeah.
She just knocked a couple things down and lit shit on fire.
I just like how this, because she's at the end, she's like, the wizards and their evil have been destroyed, Togren, but not you. No. Never you, not as long as one flower blossoms or one blade of grass endures. And it just says an ending.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't say end. Like,
literally, just... dot, 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 an ending.
Yeah, usually, like, at the end of these books, they'll just have, like, a little ending story. Anthology, they'll just say end. It's just like an ending. It's like, it's just kind of like, it's over?
Yeah. They were like, we really need to get this to press. So this is how it's ending.
No more.
Yeah. An ending.
Goodbye.
The end.
Yeah. And that's how that story ends.
That's how that story ends. And then we have an Animal Man.
Yeah, we're jumping right into Animal Man.
Animal Man, hero or freak.
This is from, this is actually, I believe, I don't, oh God, I'm blanking on which issue of Strange Adventures this is, but this is pretty much like the second or third
issue
Animal Man story.
Okay.
Ever.
This would make sense. Why? This is a weird story.
Right.
For Animal Man, hero or freak.
Or freak, indeed. I do like he's got his little logo up here. It says Animal Man, but it's like a bunch of like stripes, leopard spots.
Yeah.
And it looks all like meaty, like animal meat.
Yeah. Well, he is Animal Man.
He is Animal Man. And, I'm intrigued by this art.
It's weird. He looks, there's a couple times where he looks like he's, like doing that, like the weird Sylvester Stallone run. Or he's doing like a shuffle, like a granny shuffle.
Yeah, he's doing some weird shuffle here. And he is, he's got like, but it's like the detail on here is very intense.
Yeah.
And some of these is almost like a very Joe Kubert-esque. And I don't even know if Joe Kubert wrote through this, but it seems very,
I don't know, who knows?
Very similar to that. But yeah, so. So we start off with, it's a page from that happens later.
Yeah.
And basically he's
running away from some dudes.
Running away from some guys who are shooting at him. And he's like, the freighter unloading a cargo of wild animals from Africa must acquire their strength and cunning.
Yeah. This starts with him and his buddy, George?
Roger.
Roger. Him and his buddy Roger, who's like his sidekick or mechanic or Alfred or something. They're like cruising around trying to map out where in his city all of the animals are located.
Right.
Because apparently back in these early stories, Animal Man had to be 35 feet from an animal in order to take on their strength.
No, 30 yards.
I'm sorry, 30 yards from an animal in order to take on their strength.
He had to be slightly more than the red zone in the NFL to get to be near to do his powers. So he basically had to be like field goal away.
Yeah, so he was literally running around this town mapping out like where all the pet stores were, what kinds of animals were in these pet stores, where the zoo was, and they had like, he's like, I have a whole list of what animals are in the zoo. He's like, now if I can just direct the criminals that way, then I can take on powers.
Animal Man is doing a lot of things very difficultly.
This whole thing is difficult.
Why am I blanking on words today? It's just more difficult.
It's more difficult than it needs to be.
He's making it a lot harder for himself than it really needs to be. Because not only is he his idea to map out the
location of all animals.
Location of all animals so he can continue to fight crime by being near these animals and taking note of them, which apparently there's a animal corner pet shop that has cats, dogs,
and
a gorilla.
Because of course, why wouldn't you want to put a gorilla in a pet store?
Sure. I don't know.
And I just, the idea that he's like, oh, if I'm going to fight crime in order to do any good, I have to make sure it happens within 30 yards of an animal.
So not only this, but he's also doing this mapping while flying around with Roger in a small biplane.
Oh, that's right.
Around like a residential area. Like, you know, like he's flying around like your average main street in this fucking small ass plane.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, I've got lists. And then they go back to the cave where the Animal Man lives.
Because apparently he has a lair.
Yeah.
He has a lair which he hangs out.
And that's why I can't tell what Roger, he's all dressed in green. He's wearing like a cap that you would wear if you're like a mechanic or in the military or something. But I'm just like, so what is he? Is he a mechanic? Is he his sidekick? Is he his assistant? Is he an Alfred? What is he?
Yeah.
We don't know. Hangs out with Animal Man.
So apparently the Second National Bank has been knocked off.
Yes.
It's getting knocked off. So he's like, oh,
Animal
shit.
Man, by the way, sweet car.
Oh, yeah, look at that car.
Look at that car. So Animal Man gets in his car, which is this awesome, like, really long purple number.
Although it's a kind of a weird, like, it doesn't look very practical.
Oh, no, these cars are never practical. So he drives them over to the bank, and he's like, well, luckily they're on the run and they're going to pass something.
Well, here's the thing that I'm confused about is that you think he wouldn't apparently because his powers are so limited.
Yeah.
At this point that he can't just be like, oh, there's a bird. I'll fly there.
Right.
Because that's normally what he does.
Right.
You know, eventually when it's just like, hey, I just tap into the red and now I'm going to fly because I can, you know, because birds.
Right. This is, I'm surprised Animal Man stuck around at all. If this was how his power set was
well,
at
here's
the very beginning, this is very weird.
Well, he didn't really, like, he wasn't really around that much.
Yeah.
Up until, like, the mid to late 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, then he showed back up and then he was like, oh, here's Animal Man. He can go.
Yeah.
Hangs out. But,
because, I mean, it's such a weird thing to be like, my hero can only use animals that are this close, and he literally has to map out pet stores.
Yeah. So I guess they go by the aquarium, and he's like, oh, shit. So, like, what do I do now?
He's like, well, close enough, I guess.
He's like, so what do I use? Do I use the maneuverability of a swordfish? Do I use, do I become a minnow? Do I use a dolphin? And he apparently figures that using a dolphin's, head fish butt.
Yes.
Ability for them because, you know, dolphins are...
They're the assholes of the sea.
They're the assholes of the sea. He decides,
dolphins are fucks.
He decides to be an asshole and dive into this guy's car and knock it over.
Yeah, you know, no, dolphins are terrible. Car. Everybody loves them, but they're awful.
Yeah.
So he, like, headbutts this car. It's never explained if he has to remain within 30 yards of the animal or if he just needs to be there when he takes their powers. And then they wear off.
I think that's what happens because he says, because at one point later he has like,
it's like
the,
a bunny.
He has the power of a rabbit to jump and he's like, oh, well, it's wearing off.
Okay.
So I don't know if it just, he gets it for a minute or whatever. And...
Yeah, it's not. So he headbutts his car. These dudes go out. He's going to grab them.
I mean, he knocks the fuck out of this car.
Yeah, I mean, so much so that these guys get thrown and he only gets two of them.
Well, he gets three. One, two.
Oh, does he get three? No, somebody goes down the subway though.
Well, there's two of these guys that get away. I think there's a few guys that get away.
Yeah, I thought it was two got away, two he got two.
I think there's four because I think...
Yeah, two get away, he catches two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he catches them and then he's like, oh man, I couldn't get the other two. And then this is weird because they keep, instead of referring to them as people or criminals or whatever, he's like, oh, well, characters like that always try again.
Or crooks.
Yeah, but he calls them characters.
Are we not allowed to call them criminals?
I don't know. He just calls them characters, and I find that so weird. And there's a couple of times that he does this.
That's what Roger says.
Yeah, but it's weird. The fact that they use the word characters at all is so weird to me. It's very jarring.
So they go back to his lair, and apparently this is the next day.
Yeah, I guess.
It's the next day, and apparently these guys are knocking off another bank because... You gotta knock off banks when you're hot.
I mean, what else are you gonna do?
And they hop into his fucking Ace and Gary car.
Yeah.
And,
you know, this is absolutely Ace and Gary.
And he's like, all right, well, there's no animals around here. He's like, well, fine, I'll just go use my human powers. And
which is just being a normal human.
And he's like, well, there's a but not. And then there, these guys see him and they're just shooting at him.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, no, I have to hide. And they're like, well, if we can't get Animal Man, we'll get his buddy who's just sitting in the car, I guess.
Yeah. He gets out of the car to chase after them and they're shooting at him. And they're like, oh, shit, they're going to fucking ram my buddy. And they do.
Yeah. And Gary goes, or Gary.
Roger.
I keep calling him George and Gary. I don't know.
Roger gets knocked the fuck out of this car.
Yeah. I'm surprised Roger's not dead.
Which, somehow I don't understand how, because he's sitting in the driver's seat and they just like hit him outside.
How does their car continue to drive after this? I mean, like, this is a serious accident.
They plow into this car and somehow they just knock him out. Like, instead of just crushing him in it.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know why? Because the car is open topped.
Oh, that
so
makes sense.
So that makes sense that they somehow would knock him out.
It just basically rolls and he just gets thrown.
I don't know how that. I mean, this guy should be murdered because.
So Animal Man's like, oh man, come on, buddy, let's go this way. So he's helping him, but these guys are like, we're coming after you.
Yeah.
So then
now they're the hunted.
Yeah. So now we're back on the cover, basically, where Animal Man is learning to speed walk. Because that's what this looks like. Look at him speed walking.
He is speed walking, yeah.
He's like, I invented speed walking. I'm an old person at a mall.
He's speed walking in what appears to is an original orange outfit that appears to be...
I'm telling you, he is the original old person going for his morning walk around a mall. He's wearing a tracksuit. He looks like he has comfortable footwear. He's taking a nice little speed walk past the Delia's or whatever the fuck else is in there.
The Delia's. The Gloria's Coffee,
mm-hmm.
or the fucking Claire's.
Ann Taylor Loft.
Oh, you're definitely walking off Ann Taylor. You're definitely walking past the Wetzel's Pretzels.
Oh, absolutely. And the Aunt Annie's.
Aunt Annie's, yeah.
Yeah.
You're definitely walking past the Manchu Walk.
And the Express.
Oh, you're walking past the Express for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That Gap ain't open yet either. You better walk by that.
And the Abercrombie and Fitch.
And that closing Best Buy. So, yeah, but you're walking by. Yeah, he's doing the speed walk. I just want to say, though, his outfit, for some reason, like, it's very, like, it looks like it's got, like a rough texture on it.
It does. It's kind of bumpy.
It's kind of bumpy. It kind of reminds me of Aquaman's shirt.
Yeah.
So he's, like, basically wearing, like, his scales. Outfit, but it's, like, the entirety of, like, Aquaman's shirt.
Yeah, it's, like, scales.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, man, that ship looks like it's unloading animals straight from Africa. It's the USS Safari, sure. And it's unloading these animals that we stole from Africa.
For zoos.
And he's like, but why can't I feel them? I should be able to feel them. And then he notices that they're all babies, which that's awful.
They're babies!
He just stole all these babies from their parents.
It's an adorable baby animal ship. And now this idiot...
And they probably murdered all of their parents in order to take them.
And now this idiot is running towards their direction, so all these poor baby animals
are getting shot at
by a bunch of low-level crooks.
They're in cages getting shot at because they're trying to shoot this fucking speedwalker.
Oh, here's your character's thing again, because he goes, yeah. I like this line here. He's like, bullets against baby animal powers? This ought to be some show. All right, you characters, let's ring up the curtain.
That's what I mean.
Because
he's like,
the baby animals aren't strong enough. The baby!
That's right. He's like, these baby animal powers are dumb. So he like...
Fuck these baby animals.
He's like, well, I'll try as much as I can.
So he does a bunch of like jumping.
But of course, these idiots have shot like a gas tank and all these baby animals are about to burn to death.
So what he does... He's like, hey... There's a baby elephant out there. So fucking Dumbo's out there about to be burned alive. He's like, well, I better shut this fire down. He's like, I've never tried this chick before, but let's check it out. He dives into the water, takes a big swig of harbor water.
Oh, God.
And spits it out onto the fire with alarming accuracy.
Yeah.
Because apparently he's like, hey, I can do like an elephant does with its trunk, and I can use my mouth to spit a bunch
full
of water.
Harbor water and
but he had to drink a lot of water.
Yeah, like
his lungs aren't that big.
Just like he would have just taken a mouthful.
But here's the thing. Let's check this out. Let's think about this.
Elephants don't put it in their lungs.
Yeah, they put it in their trunk, I assume, right?
Yeah, but it's like taking a gulp, like putting water in your mouth. It's like Triple H coming to the ring.
Right. So
he doesn't put it in his lungs.
But think about this. Think if Triple H were to drown. And you were to, but you were, okay, listen, stay with me.
I'm with you.
Triple H were to drown, but he didn't die.
Was he listening to Motorhead at the time?
Yes, he fell. He was listening to Motorhead. He was fucking doing his little pose and he fell overboard.
Because drowned. Was he on the wrestling cruise?
Yes.
And
he was on the Bruise Cruise.
Okay.
Which was actually a WCW wrestling cruise.
All right. So he was there. He's on the ring. He's doing his pose.
Uh-huh.
And he falls off the side.
Right.
Okay.
Falls off the side. Lungs fill completely with water. He drowns.
Yes.
But
R.I.P.
He doesn't die. R.I.P. But no, wait. Triple H is living. He's back.
So they resuscitate him.
They get all the water out of his lungs.
Yes.
And it just basically is like... Blah!
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yes.
Animal Man has...
He's like a garden hose.
He has this gigantic... Like, I don't know. How is he able to continue to have this much water?
Does he have shoulder neck? Maybe he has a mouth in his neck.
Maybe there's a mouth that we're not seeing.
Maybe it's the vacuum mouth that is going... It's doing the sucking.
He is in pretty good shape.
Maybe that mouth in his neck is doing the sucking and he's spitting it out.
Yes.
Maybe this is what we've discovered. This is why you have shoulder neck. So yeah. Triple H wouldn't die because he also has shoulder neck. Well,
you made a good point.
Right?
That's why Triple H cannot die from drowning.
Because he has shoulder neck. Because he has a hidden mouth.
Excuse me, Triple H, Sean Merrick, from the worst collection of podcasts here at...
I Could Talk Kayfabe.
Also, I Could Talk Kayfabe. I have two podcasts. I'm here at this panel. I know, you just have a quick question. Do you have another person living inside of you because of your traps are so big? And are we just not able to see that person's mouth? And if you were to drown... Do you think you would live, but your second person would die? I'll just sit down and wait for the answer. Thank you.
Also, follow up to that question. If you have a second mouth, have you ever used it as a vacuum and then you spit whatever the second mouth is picking up?
I have this Animal Man comic from 1967 or whatever, 65. And I'm just curious. I had this question for a long time.
This is just an anatomy question.
I just want to know if you have any answers to these questions.
I really appreciate you fielding these questions about your weird anatomy.
I really appreciate you being here for the fans. I think everybody else could agree with me here.
I mean, who doesn't want to know this?
Y'all want to know if he's got a second mouth?
Everyone cheer. That's
y'all
right.
Y'all want to know if everybody's got that second mouth?
This is wrestling. Clap, 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 clap.
This is why I could never meet wrestlers.
No. Probably for the best.
I don't know.
It's just like, get that guy out of here.
Hang up on that guy.
Get that guy out of here.
How many mouths do I have?
He's like, I can't actually see anything.
Do I have an extra man inside of me?
And then, oh my god, you've just like spun Triple H into some like really deep philosophical place where he has to go get therapy to find out if he has like a person inside of him. Like, is that his inner child just like trying to get out through his neck?
What's wrong with you?
My inner child.
You have a second person inside of you.
My inner child is trying to escape through my neck.
I had that one. I killed it. I punched it to death.
Comes the next. Excuse me, Mr. McMahon. Why are you all bruised? I punched my inner child to death.
I had a second person living inside, but I murdered him. I put him in a steak wrap.
Mm-hmm. So, Animal Man back at his lair, and his buddy's just talking on the phone to someone. Doesn't matter, but there's...
Yeah, who's he talking to?
I don't know. Finding out about crime, apparently. And then he's just sitting there just like, yelp. Like, he's not doing anything. He's just, like, literally hanging out in the background. And Animal Man's like, all right, cool. They're going through the zoo. Good times for Animal Man. And he runs outside of his cave. Oh, I'm sorry, speed walks, because this man does not run.
No.
And he's like, hey, bunny, I'm a bunny, too. And so he starts hopping, but this kind of looks like he has flippers.
Yeah, his feet are weird here.
So he's in the zoo and he's like, yeah. And he's like, but wait a second.
Also like his Mickey Mouse gloves.
Yeah, he also has Mickey Mouse gloves. He's like, wait a second. I'm in the zoo. I see the car. Why don't I feel any animals?
Well, here's the thing. I want to point out he jumps as a bunny.
Yeah.
To this place. And it says here 1,000 hops later. So he jumps 1,000 times to get to where
he... Don't you think it would have been easier for him to drive at this point, right?
It would have been easier for him to run or to, like, chat. Here's the thing. I mean, can you just be like, hey, there's a bird. I'm going to fly.
Nope, bunny. It was the only thing near the opening.
Oh, I saw a bunny.
I
better jump 1,000 times.
That's all he's got. I mean, like, what if you're like, I really need some, like, I need, like, gorilla strength and, like, all you have is a poodle.
Poodles apparently very strong.
Little toy
poodles?
What are
toy poodles, Del?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Not the big show poodles.
Oh, yeah, those are...
Talking the little toy ones.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if he had the power of our cat, he would just lay on the floor.
Apparently, he has used the power to nap like a cat in the past.
Oh, well, I mean, I would.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So apparently he gets to the zoo. Okay, so he gets to the zoo and apparently...
It's closed.
It's closed.
And all the animals are gone.
All the animals are gone. And he's like, oh, shit. But he has enough of a bunny hop to, like, jump into this truck that apparently has a bunch of doors in it.
I guess.
And then he punches these guys in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then that truck smashes. And then he's like, okay, well, those guys are dead.
Goes after the driver, maybe.
He tries after some guy, and then he just punches a guy in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then he power walks away.
Yeah.
And the guys are like, oh, that guy was awesome. Oh, it's the crime fighter, calls himself A-Man.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's on our team because of A-Man.
Yeah, A-Man.
A-Man. And then they get the newspaper.
And it just says A-Man on it.
Roger's like, wow, you're becoming pretty good there, buddy. And the paper just says, A-Man does it again, Grabo captured.
It really just, I mean, at this point, it just says Area Man.
You might as well be Area Man.
Might as well be Area Man because A-Man is literally anybody.
And so he's like, yeah, and so like Roger's like, yeah, it was a good job. Animal Man goes, it was a pip, but I nailed him, Roger. And then he follows this up with, like I will with all of his kind, sooner or later, I will wipe crime from the city and the country. Holy shit.
Yeah, only if there's an animal within 30 yards, bro. Like, when there's not.
What if it's on, like, on a train track? What are you going to do? Like, right? There's no, like, animals out there.
Hopefully it's a circus train and there's, like, a giraffe. Yeah,
hopefully there's a giraffe out there. You can use the weird tongue of a giraffe to lick your guy to death.
Blech.
Lick his head off.
Mm, gross.
And
giraffes have black tongues.
Yeah, I know. I've got a black tongue like a giraffe.
Because there's a zoo in Colorado where you can feed them.
Oh, neat.
It's actually very cool. We used to when I was a kid, but they have these like long black tongues. I'm assuming maybe so they don't get sunburned.
Oh, nice.
Right? That makes sense. But they come out like
Animal man, we're gonna open up your mouth and stick you in the desert so you can burn your inside your mouth. It's like, but I have the power
of the giraffe.
The black tongue giraffe. You can't defeat me.
You're like, all right, Animal Man.
Oh, you got us this time. You got us characters this time, Animal Man.
Yeah, A-Man, you're so good at this.
What is like so it ends with Roger
is good at this.
Roger being like, you're just that guy that can do it, pal, with the powers of A-Man.
Just any old man, huh?
Any old man. So that's our Animal Man.
Right.
So let's take a break. We're going to come back. We'll finish the rest of this book. We got two more to get through on this one. This is going to be a doozy of an episode. Thanks for sticking with us. And we'll be right back.
Oh, adolescents this generation have no respect and are a far cry from my sweet Jane Eyre and her friend Helen Burns. Why, just this afternoon I was...
Stella?
Across, and you know what? Men, too. Well...
Stella?
Serious men like the tragic Mr. Rochester and teachers, pa! They're all like the villainous Mr. Brocklehurst.
Hey, Stella!
Yes, Thomas?
As much as I enjoy, indulging your insanity, we have a promo to record.
Oh dear, and what might that be?
That is you and I telling everyone that we have a brand new podcast out there. It's called Required Reading with Tom and Stella. Once a month, we will take a look at a single work of literature, discuss it, analyze it, and determine if it's worth its place in the canon.
Oh dear, that sounds delightful.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. And you can find us on the Two True Freaks Network, which is at twotruefreaks.com.
Oh yes, Required Reading with Tom and... Why is it Tom and Stella? Why can't it be Stella and Tom?
It rolls off the tongue better?
Okay.
Well, that was easy. So, Required Reading with Tom and Stella at twotruefreaks.com. Thanks for contributing to the promo there. You did a great job.
Oh, you are so welcome.
All right, welcome back to Worst Collection Ever, where we knock off this issue of Adventure Comics number 420. These are the Star Men. So the story behind this entry into this book is, I guess this is like a unreleased issue, unreleased story from the DC archives.
Mm-hmm.
The vault or something that they just never, it was probably like a science for like a science fiction book or like a horror book or something.
Mm-hmm.
They just never got around to releasing and they just didn't know what to do it. So it's in here and they went ahead and illustrated it or whatever. And you know, here we go. So, and basically what the premise is that there's this, planet in the solar system.
Yeah, so it's this planet in the solar system that apparently, yeah, it's called Crag, and it doesn't have anything on it except for a whole bunch of rare jewels.
Yeah, a bunch of treasure.
A bunch of treasure that is, quote, guarded by stone statues.
Yeah.
So many outlaws from across the galaxy have tried, and they talk, who are they again? They list them.
Well, they list a bunch of these guys like Nil the Martian, Rikshu from Pluto. And then they have this one dude, the bearded Krang from Riggle 4.
Or is it Rigel 4?
Rigel 4, and it looks like Kyle Kinane.
It does look like Kyle Kinane. But can you, it must be Riggle. It can't be Rigel, right? That's like a Star Wars Trek thing.
Rigel?
I thought so.
Well,
isn't it a Star Trek thing?
Sure.
All right. Anyway, so they're like, oh, all of these people have tried. They're, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
And they never come back, so.
And they never came back. So this one guy, I don't know what this guy's name is.
Rick Rikon.
Dude with a really bad costume, because he kind of looks like he's wearing, like, one of those sleeping caps that,
yeah,
like, you'd only see that Ebenezer Scrooge wearing.
For some reason, he's dressed in purple and green, and he's wearing, like, a cape with, like, a sleeping cap, and he's got like these yellow underwear on him. He's just like, yeah, an asshole.
He does. And apparently this is a Martian colony because we have colonized the moon, probably because we fucked up our own planet, just yep. saying.
As of the first Earth city established on Mars in the year 2100 AD.
Well, hopefully we'll last
but
that long.
But now we're in 2500 AD, and we have yeah, the streets of New Earth.
Yeah, probably because Earth doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
So he goes in and he sees this dude with an eye patch. He's like, hey, dude with an eye patch, where's my info? And he's like, well, you got to give me money. So he pays him. And he's like, okay, so there was this planet and it spewed forth all these rare gems from its volcano. They're super expensive. You can, like, buy all the things with it. Just beware, the other people have gone before you. Have just never come back.
Yeah, and FYI, like, okay. this could suck.
And because this is an outlaw bar, we have like people like breaking in, like yeah. The cops are shaking down the place, and he just like
the solar police
are shaking down the place. So he runs out the window, the
solar police
gets in his rocket, and off he goes.
Yeah, so he ends up on Crag. As he ends up there, they're like, oh, he's going to Crag, and they're like, ah, fuck him.
Fuck him. He ain't coming back.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Mad Max times.
Yeah. Nobody ever comes back from Crag.
So, that's how it's going to go.
So he's like, okay, cool. Well, luckily, this air is breathable, which this is my biggest pet peeve, which we will discuss why here later. But my biggest pet peeve is anybody who is supposed to be like a space person or whatever, they're just like, air breathable, immediately takes off my mask.
It's like the movie, it's like fucking Prometheus, where they're just like,
really
they're on the planet for like a minute, they're like, oh, this is fine. I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm like, no, you need to like run a fucking test, dude. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? No, so nothing.
They literally just land on this planet. They land on the planet and just like, oh, it's fine, take it off.
Well, we were watching Lost in Space the other day.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, the air on this random ship we just found seems fine. Take off your helmet. You're like, no. Anyway.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, well, there's nothing here but these weird statues.
These big statues.
He's like, also, it's kind of getting hard to breathe. I don't know. And I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't take off your thing. He's like, huh, it's kind of getting hard to breathe. This is kind of weird. But he makes his way to this valley where there's these stone things. He's like, oh, shit, look at all this treasure. Holy fuck, this is great. I'm going to take it. It's all mine.
I'm going to be rich.
And the minute he touches it, all these stone statues start moving because this is actually who the inhabitants of this planet are.
Yeah.
Stone
dudes.
But because the air is garbage on this planet, it turns every living thing to stone.
Yeah.
So including this dude, and the big stone guy picks him up. And he stands him next to all of the other guys who have never came back, and now they are stone statues that will just stand there and stare at the treasure they wanted to steal forever.
Yeah, so now Rikon will stand there forever as a stone statue. Now, here's the thing, though. I wonder if that doesn't even matter, like, having a helmet on, because this dude here...
Oh, he's got a helmet.
He's got a helmet. Right. I don't know if it's, you know, if it's effective or not, but he's got a helmet, and he's,
maybe
he's
his neck mouth didn't have a helmet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now, yeah, this Conrad Rykon, the most wanted man in the universe, is now trapped on this planet forever, so...
Yep.
R.I.P. that dude.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's it. That's how that's it. That's the story. That's it. So now we get to the end of the last story of the book here. It is a Supergirl story that was originally printed in Action Comics number 303 from back in 1963.
And I would just say calling it a Supergirl story is very generous.
Well, here's the thing. I read something about how I guess they adjusted this story somehow, that it's a Supergirl story, but that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, and we will discuss why. So the splash page here is Monster from Krypton, and it's like a flying dragon, kind of like a Falcor, but like without arms.
Without being adorable.
Yeah, without being adorable, has like a horn, and apparently it's Superman is the dragon.
Superman is the dragon, because Red K has turned him into a dragon.
That's right. I like Red K when it makes him a dick. I don't really like it when it turns him into weird things. But yeah. And then everyone's like, oh my God, Superman is dead. And he doesn't know how he's going to not be a dragon.
Right.
So the way this starts is Jimmy is hanging out with a dude in a helicopter. And he's like, man, there was a volcano. Let's go stare at it.
Yeah.
There's a landslide. And all of a sudden, there's a big glowy egg.
Because he's like, yeah, I want to get some pictures of this fucking, this
volcano
earthquake. So I'm going to go. And look, there's a red glowing egg. And it's freaking me out. And he asks the guy to put him down over there. And he's like, nah, man.
I got kids.
And he's like, fine.
He's that wrestler now.
Yeah. He's Slater's like, nah, man, I got kids.
Yeah.
And then he's like, fine. And then so he's like, fine, I'll use my stupid watch and get Superman in. So Superman hears it. And he's like, oh, shit.
This is what text messages were before we had text messages.
Yeah.
It's just high-pitched watch noises.
The high-pitched you up.
Yeah.
So he's like, and Superman hears it, and he's like, oh shit, I gotta go on a lunch date with Lois, but fuck that, Jimmy Olsen needs me.
Yep.
So I'm gonna use
more nooners for me.
Yeah, he's about to get some nooner.
No more nooner for Clark. Better be out the door. So he like uses his super ventriloquism.
He uses super ventriloquism to mimic Perry White's voice so that Lois goes into Perry's office.
And then Clark jumps out the window.
He jumps out the window, and Perry's like, I didn't call you.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. So Superman goes and finds this egg, and he's like, oh, shit, that egg, which looks like every fucking egg.
It's just an egg.
It's just an egg. And he's like, Jimmy's like, that huge egg in the landslide uncover looks so strange, it scares me. So he's scared of a giant egg.
Yeah, he's like, kind of looks like an egg to me, Jimmy.
And Jimmy's like, but right away, somehow, Superman is able to understand that this is a egg of...
Well, he has his super recollection or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, this irritates the fuck out of me, because first off, you don't know shit about Krypton. Because you were, like, days old when they sent you here.
Well, didn't they send them all those crystals with all the information?
Yeah, but do you think they would have, like, been like, here's the time your dad talked to this guy about an egg?
That's how we even know. It's right here.
But no, that's not what he says. He says that he was there as a toddler.
Well, right.
And he remembers
maybe that was in the crystal. That's what it said.
And apparently, somebody came to his dad and said, oh my God, we have this horrible monster dragon thing that's destroying our city.
No, it's destroyed our city. They found some eggs. And they're like, yo, these are those eggs of that.
Of that horrible monster that destroyed our city.
So, like, we need to, like, here's what we need to do. We need to get those dick ships.
Yeah.
Man of Steel.
Yeah.
That we put Zod in.
Yeah, and send these eggs out.
We'll put those eggs in them.
Well, no, because here's what I don't get. So Jor-El knows that Krypton is doomed, and he's like, oh no, we can't have those eggs on Krypton. I'm like, what do you care?
Yeah, why don't you? Too bad.
What
too bad
do you care, Jor-El?
Too bad Jor-El didn't have those eggs to throw at Zod when he was coming, when they were coming after him. And
so he's like, Jor-El's like, oh no, poor Krypton, save the eggs. So he like he puts them in the dick ships and he sends them off. And Superman's like, well, we on Krypton never killed, so we just sent the eggs into deep, deep space where they were
benevolent people,
where they would freeze and never hatch.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's the same thing.
That's kind of shitty. Still,
that's you're still killing them.
You're still freezing to death.
They're done. I mean, it's fine if you want to say, like, you know, it's an embryo, it's whatever, but, like, at the same time, it is still no longer, it's like killing a tumor. It no longer exists. So, right. What? So he's like, we're benevolent. We're so nice. We just froze those eggs to death. And he's like, but one of them got stuck in the orbit of Krypton. And Jor-El was like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's how he goes. He goes, whatever.
Whatevs. It's not
even
coming back
down. Even though we have technology to go out there and maybe do something about it.
I mean, we have dick ships.
We have these dick ships, you know, but I don't want to take an extra dick ship if I don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to ride in the dick ship?
I don't want to ride in a dick ship. That's for eggs and criminals.
So there's another earthquake. The egg rolls down into a chasm. And Superman's like, oh, no, I better go get it. So Jimmy's like waiting. And they're like, what's taking Superman so long? And the next thing we see is the dragon comes up from the crevice with Superman's uniform in its mouth. And right. And Jimmy's like, oh, no, it ain't Superman. Except Superman is the dragon.
Uh-huh.
And so he went down. The egg was cracked anyway. It didn't matter. But because it was covered in red kryptonite, because it passed through some field or something.
Yeah.
Since he was thinking about the dragon before he encountered the red kryptonite, now he has become the dragon.
So are we saying that if Superman thinks about being a dick, that's why he becomes a dick when he gets red cake?
I guess. I don't really know the rule.
Having a bad day and he's like,
This is kind of like back in the day when red K didn't, it did whatever the writer needed it to do.
Well, obviously. But like, yeah, I mean, but the way that it's presented here is like if Superman's thinking about like, I can go for a hot dog.
Then he's a hot dog.
And what if Jimmy eats him?
I mean, don't you think Jimmy would break his teeth? Because wouldn't he be a super strong
hot dog? Yes,
right? It would
true.
Have to be.
And he'd be like, oh, this hot dog's impossible to eat. Better throw it down into the garbage disposal and it just breaks his garbage disposal.
Yeah, it could be a whole thing.
Yeah, it could be a whole, that's a whole book that was ever written.
Yeah. But then he has this idea. For some reason, he turns into this thing, but his suit is like intact.
His suit's intact and Superman is still, like, he's still got his intellect.
Yeah, he can't talk or anything, but he still has the same mind. And he's like, I have an idea. If I grab the suit with my jaws and bring it up to Jimmy, Jimmy will automatically know that I am Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Which, who the fuck would ever think that?
No.
No one. If you saw a giant dragon running around with your friend's shirt in its mouth, you're not going to think, that's my friend. You're going to think, that dragon ain't my friend.
That would be like if we had a dog and our dog had a pair of its underwear in my mouth. Would you go,
wait,
oh
what?
My God, Shaw became the dog.
yes, I would.
Because you would have got into our laundry or something. He was like,
And the dog comes out with your sock in its mouth, and I'd be like, oh my God, Sean's now a dog. Holy
and
shit.
You'd be the dumbest person to
ever. Oh my God. Live. So what happens if, like, the dog comes out with my sock in its mouth, and I'm like, oh my God, am I a dog? Like, that's literally how Superman's thinking right now.
Wait a minute. I became a dog, and I didn't
know. Oh shit,
know.
I'm a dog.
Or I'm a dragon, or whatever the fuck I am.
And he's like,
whatever I was thinking about when Red K came through, I'm a sandwich.
And Jimmy's like, we gotta get back to tell everybody about this, and also to tell that everybody Superman's dead. And Superman's just like,
Jimmy's getting extra.
Ugh, everybody's extra in this book. And Superman's like, I wonder why that didn't work. I'd be like, because it's literally not a logical leap.
The dumbest idea I've ever heard.
I just don't. It's just so dumb.
This is when, like, Superman, like, tries, is like, okay, fine, I'm gonna go follow Jimmy in this helicopter. And then Jimmy's sitting there in the helicopter like, Supergirl needs to help us.
Right. And so now they get to the Daily Planet. Superman's like, oh, I know, I can take off the letters on the weird sign that's on the Daily Planet, which is like the Daily Planet, the super news is every man's news.
It says,
or something.
Is the Daily Planet the super newspaper every man
needs?
Prefers,
no,
he's
maybe?
He's biting off the,
oh, prefers. Okay.
Prefers.
Which, that's a real weird sign.
That's a weird marketing.
Yeah, that's not the kind of sign you want. So he's like,
it's a bit like a cable network like Fox, the station that people like and you would like it to
if you watch
Simpsons.
It. Pretty much. That's why.
Yeah.
He's like trying to spell out that I am Superman, and like everybody starts shooting at him because Perry's like, get the armed forces. Oh my God, a dragon.
He goes, oh my God, this dragon is coming. I'm going to call the armed forces because he has a line. He calls 1-800-ARMY.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then they show that's up. What happens. Not a recruiter. A recruiter doesn't talk to you. Like the army comes.
You actually get, they go, army guns here. And then they go,
hello, guns here.
Press one for cannons. Press two for missiles.
Press three for drones.
Or if you want all of them, please mash the keypad with your fist.
If you would like an all-out assault, please just mash the keypad with your fist.
Please use your forehead to get all of these buttons. It just
for nukes. Just don't.
For nukes. Maybe you might want to think about it.
Yeah, think about it.
Are you Perry White? Are you overreacting?
We have a 24-hour waiting period on nukes.
I need it now!
But I'm angry now!
Basically. So then the army shows up and they start shooting at, you know, Superman dragon. And things, oh, he's Superman dragon, so you can't defeat him.
Yeah, so bullets are bouncing off of him. I do love this panel where it's just the dragon's face where it's like,
Yeah, because the dragon's always got like this like face, like it's a very ugly dragon.
Yeah,
like, poor dragon.
It's not like a cute How to Train Your Dragon. No, dragon. It's not toothless. It was adorable.
And he's like, oh God, I better figure this out because
before they launch the one thing that could kill me.
Yeah, before they figure out they need kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where so he flies off, and then the planes are like, let's find him, you know.
Yeah, yeah, quick.
And then again, so this is where Jimmy's like, well, I guess we had to because Supergirl isn't around.
Yeah. By the way, this is her book.
Well, this is supposed to be her story.
This is supposed to be her story. So they're trying to follow him, and he's like, Superman goes into like a big empty field, and he's like, I know, I'll just chew the earth so it spells words.
I'll chew the earth so it says, I am Superman.
I am Superman. That way
people will know that I am an intelligent being trapped inside of this ugly dragon's body.
Except, oh, guess what? The United States military finds you first. And it just, like, it's just hellfire.
Yeah, they just start raining down fucking World War III.
It's just bombs. As many bombs as they could possibly find. This is why that whole, like, I need my guns to overthrow the military, that's not going to work. Because, as you see right here, not even this dragon.
How to blow up your dragon.
Like, they're rolling, like, you know, 10 tanks at this motherfucker.
There are no less than one, two.
I think there's, like, seven.
There are seven tanks. No, six.
Six tanks.
I see six tanks.
There's six tanks, plus, like, there was an entire squadron of at least, like, 10 bombers.
How do you mobilize that many tanks that quickly?
That's why we have bases everywhere. We can do it.
But, I mean, are they just, like, they just get out there that quickly?
I guess.
Did they just find him? Did he show up at, like, Fort Bragg?
Sure.
He's like, oh, there's nobody here by this armed base. I'll just use my face to write something into the ground. Oh, no. Seven tanks.
Yep, seven tanks. And look at all the planes. Look at the plane. There's, like...
Oh, I know.
There's all the planes. They're shooting at him. So he's like, okay, I can go higher than the plane. So I'm just going really high, and I'm going to spell I am Superman with my breath.
Right.
The condensation in my breath. Oh, no, you're not, because guess what? We're going to launch, like, you fucking tomahawks at you.
Yeah, we're just launching tomahawks, and they're blowing up his skywriting. He's like, I could skywrite. I'm like, no, you can't. I do like how Jimmy and whatever, I don't know where the hell they're watching this. They're watching the military vision.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy and Perry are sitting there watching this, and they're just like,
yeah.
Just like, oh, shit.
Oh, but there was this part at the beginning.
Oh, but I want to point something out here.
Oh, can I talk about, can I mention Lois real quick?
Well, no, we'll get to that in a second.
Oh.
Before we move on. I want to say, this is how they altered the book. Because if you notice here, this is, so look at the lettering here.
Uh-huh. Oh, and it's different down there.
And then you get down here to this paragraph where they're like, if only Supergirl would be here.
That's right.
And so,
because it is absolutely different lettering. They just drop that in.
They just drop it in because it's a bit more condensed lettering. And they're like, because Jimmy's like pissed. He's like, why won't they kill this dragon?
Yeah, I mean, come on, we're wasting a lot of tax dollars on this dragon.
Oh, he doesn't care.
So Superman's like, I have an idea. I'm gonna go up to the fortress. I'm gonna lose the military like radar in this flock of birds.
Yeah. A flock of seagulls.
A flock literally. Of seagulls.
And I flew to the fortress of solitude.
So he heads up to the Fortress of Solitude.
Meanwhile, Jimmy's like, hey, I've heard of green kryptonite. Let's murder it with that.
And it's like, also like, editor's note, this is before all the kryptonite turned to iron. And I'm like, oh, apparently that was a thing once.
Iron helps us play.
Yeah.
So they decide to make kryptonite bullets, which I'm surprised. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, you would assume the United States government them. Would already have them.
Or just ask Batman. He was like, Batman's got a whole friggin' artillery full of kryptonite.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, Batman's a prepper.
No, he's a prepper.
100% Batman is a prepper. So they're like, okay, we'll do that. So he goes and he picks up the key in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he goes to open it, but Candor,
the tiny Candor people are
they're like, what the fuck, dude? It's a dragon. And it's trying to get in here. And they're like, quick, we'll leave Candor, which I actually didn't know they could do.
I didn't know that either. I was like, hey, I didn't know they could just get out of there.
Yeah, and they just like fly out of the top and they become slightly larger when they do that. And so they're
special gas
holding the door shut. And I'm like, apparently that works. You would think Superman would be stronger, even in dragon form.
Yeah, but no, they're giving him shit. So as this is happening, Supergirl finally shows up.
Well, no, what happens is he's like, fuck it. I'm just going back to Metropolis. I'm going to have to try to reason with these damn people.
With my dragon face.
So he goes, and Supergirl finally shows up. And the second she shows up, she gets shot with a kryptonite bullet.
I know. she shows up to be like, oh, there's a... You know, because the dragon shows up and everybody's got their kryptonite bullets, and they're like, aha, fine, we're going to shoot this thing, and then Supergirl just gets shot.
Yep.
And she doesn't die immediately.
She should, because she gets shot twice.
I know, she gets shot, like, once in the side and once in the shoulder.
Yeah,
and I'm
with
like,
two kryptonite bullets, and so she starts falling, and Superman's like, I'll save her, so he catches her on his back, and then she's like, wait a second, this thing seems to be helping me. He's friendly.
No, somebody from the ground goes, oh my god, you see the monster helped Supergirl. It must be friendly.
Oh shit, was it from the ground? So she doesn't even get to say anything.
She doesn't say anything. She just thinks. The first time we see her doing anything, she actually thinks. She's like, oh, why is this thing rescued me, but why is it grabbing the statue? Why does it hate Superman's statue?
Yeah.
And then it starts using the statue to write...
to like knock letters off this like whatever.
It's like a memorial for Superman,
who's also alive. So he like scratches out all the letters, like he's playing like a really long game of Hangman.
Yeah, I know.
So it's
the longest Hangman.
Yeah, so it says I am Superman, and he just like sits on top of it like a cobra.
Yeah.
And so she's like, "Oh, I am Superman." She's like, "Oh wait, he must have encountered red kryptonite.
Stop him trying to murder him."
So she tells the government, hey, stop shooting at this guy. It'll wear off. And so hours later, it wears off. And he becomes Superman again, somehow clothed.
Yeah, thankfully.
Which it shouldn't.
He should be showing super dick.
He should be completely naked because he already ate his own suit.
Unless if he had the suit in his dragon hair.
Maybe.
He's like, I kept the suit in my dragon hair. Or maybe would he change back? He's so fast that he was like, oh my god, Superman's naked. Zip, zoom.
Yeah.
Got my clothes.
And then he's like, oh, you know, I spend all this time protecting animals. Now I know what it's like to be hunted like one. Mm-hmm. And that's the end. But I would just like to say that this is supposed to be Supergirl's story. I think the only way she could have done less in this book is if she wasn't in it.
Yeah, I know.
Like, she doesn't do anything at all.
I'm trying to think here.
Yeah, that looks different there, too.
Yeah, they just throw in a bunch of, like, little bubbles here. Everybody.
Just to be like, where's Supergirl? And I think that's how they tried to rewrite it.
Where's Poochie?
Yeah, because the handwriting is different. You're right.
Yeah. And that's it. Oh, real quickly.
Oh, there is a nice letter here in the back.
That's it for the Superman story, but we do get a letter in the mail section called Super Fee Dash mail.
Oh, jokes.
Hardcore, yeah. And then we get a... So you read this.
I read half of it, and then I gave up.
Okay.
So there's a...
Well, look at it.
It's a very long letter from somebody who basically is complaining that their heroes are too overpowered, and it's hard for them to give them any challenges when they have all of these powers. I would just like to point out that this was printed in 1972. People are still making this argument today. And then...
Well, I like the response.
DC's just like, what? They're like, maybe you should take all the powers away from everybody, because I think people like superheroes not because of their powers, but in spite of them. And DC's like, why would we do that? Why would we take away the thing that makes them different?
Well, they go, we should turn our top features into un-Supergirl and non-Superman. change the Flash into the Slowpoke. And then I like this one where they just, one of these things is not like the other. They go, make the Forever People only temporary. Like, really?
Yeah.
Talk about something.
I just think that's funny. I'm like, wow, the arguments literally have not changed.
No, they have not.
So.
So that's it for this Adventure Comics number 420, featuring Supergirl from June 1972. Do you want to see more stories with Superman as a dragon?
Of course I do. I would definitely buy the next issue of this, even if it didn't have Supergirl. Well, obviously, I don't like Supergirl, but I like anything that has Superman or Supergirl or Superboy like destroying something on the cover.
Or Jimmy Olsen or Lois Lane.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that shit.
I'm on board for that. I'm also on board for any Animal Man you want to throw at me.
Yeah, no, that was fun. So I was like, oh, shit.
I'm excited.
1972. I'm on board.
I'm excited that we finally got the opportunity to do an Aquaman, or not, sorry, Animal Man. Because
they're hard to find.
They're not hard to find. It's just it's hard to pick an Animal Man, especially from the Grant Morrison run.
Well, you can't.
Or from the late 80s, 90s. I mean, you could, but you don't really. It's not going to be that fun.
No, that's the thing. You've got to find one of these older ones. And that's what I mean. It's harder to find.
Well, those are, yeah, I mean, they're collected in some ways, but at the same time, well, maybe they aren't. I don't know if those are collected.
I don't know.
Because that's kind of I kind of want those.
Yeah.
You know, I want to have all these Animal Men, because, I mean, I'm not going to pay. I don't want to pay, like, $30 for a single comic just to be like, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and read it, you know.
Well, that's the thing, because we actually read these. We're not, you know.
This one fell apart.
Yeah, that one literally fell apart when we were reading it.
So.
But that's okay.
That's okay. It was worth it.
Yep, whole buck.
So, thanks for listening, folks. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at AngryHeroSean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook at Worst Collection Ever. Email us at worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And, of course, please rate, subscribe, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this podcast. We would really appreciate that. And if you get a moment, please check out I Could Talk Kayfabe with myself and Joe Todaro, where we talk about wrestling. But thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.